Ashes.
I don't even know why I'm still here. Come on, let's make this snappy.
Yeah, catch up today. Look, we did speak to Mark Jr. more about the Ashes, which is exciting. Mark is there as you speak, just getting on it.
We had Dr. Carl on today too. We didn't ask him, would he be a cricket fan or did he even check?
I don't know. You were too busy asking about adjusting yourself.
Wasn't he an expert at underpants?
Yes, he was. That was fascinating insights, to be honest. And how to vote at Bunnings, Robin, which is another fascinating insight, which is true. It's just what you did.
And then I've got to sue the pair of you for making those slave labour allegations against me.
A dog urinated on your employee. That is not a good sign.
Stand alone, that comment doesn't sound so good, but when you put it into context what a good employment agreement we've got between me and
dodgy.
My young bloke.
In context, actually, it's worse. Yeah, and that is
exactly
coming up
right.
On the catch up in 2 years.
Dog urine?
That's the problem. This is the problem with you. This is the problem with you in your slave camp. It's only dog urine.
Oh, these are your standards. See, that's in the building industry, they're not the standards we work to.
What, human rights?
Yeah, basic human rights.
Yeah, cool.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
So if I'm at the Gabba today and I want to listen to the cricket, I just put it on the Triple M app. Your headphones in and I'm on my way.
You can do that. The first ball is from 10 o'clock. Or Cricket Australia have their Cricket Australia Ears. You can purchase there and the Triple M commentary will be in there.
Oh, the sports ears things.
Absolutely. It's going to be
great. There's no better way because sometimes you don't know what's going on.
I tell you who does know what's going on. Ooh, does he ever? What an amazing Ashes performer he was himself. And now a commentator and a test selector. You will know him as Mark Jr. War. Good morning, Junior.
G'day, boys. I don't know what's more pressure, the selecting role or commentating on Triple M. I'm nervous.
You wouldn't be.
Very nervous.
She's a loose operation, that Triple M commentary, mate.
Oh, yeah. I rocked into Brizzy last night and I met Mick Malloy for the first time. I thought I was meeting Merv Hughes' full brother. Jeez, he looks like Merv Hughes.
He does an incredible Merv Hughes impersonation without meaning to, doesn't he?
Yeah, if he had a moustache, he would be dead set ringer.
Hey,
Junior, have you been asked to explain yourself about the selection of the team very many times in the last week?
No, probably about 50 times, twice a day at least, twice an hour. But, so far, it looks good, doesn't it?
I don't mind, Junior. Hey, Junior, I don't mind. So who's going to play today? Is Marshall or Maxwell going to bat at 6?
Not sure. I mean, we all know that David Warner's had a sore neck and Sean Marsh hurt his back. Yep. Diving at training, so my mail is that they'll both be okay, but I think you have to have Maxwell here as precaution, but we'll see. You know, you can wake up a lot different than how you went to bed, so we'll see what happens in the morning, but we'll have 11 players out there. That's the main thing.
Oh,
ready
good.
To go.
So
that's good to know.
Mark, does that mean that as a selector you still have a say in that on the day?
No, I won't have a say in it. No, Trevor Holmes, the chairman of selectors, will be there with the medical staff and obviously the players, but they'll be the ones that will go through that. They'll do their fitness test this morning at practice and they'll decide then. So, I mean, I'll be at the ground. I'll speak to Trevor Holmes, but at the end of the day, I'll be Trevor Holmes and the players and the physio and the fitness people who come up with the decision.
How important is winning the toss and what would you do?
Well, I'm just looking out the window. Geez, it gets light here early in Brisbane. I woke up about 5 o'clock.
Done it ever.
I thought I was laying on the beach in my bedroom. Geez, it was bright.
Back to the question.
But the weather, if it was overcast, it probably wouldn't be a bad toss to lose and have a bowl. But I think whoever bats will win this. I haven't had a look at the pitch, so I don't know 100%.
It looks greenish.
Yeah, it always looks green than what it is. I think if the sun comes out, I think whoever wins the toss will definitely bat first and get underway with a few runs in the first innings and put pressure on that way.
Hey, Mark Waugh, Graham Swan has been telling everyone that'll listen, certainly at the BBC, he described Brisbane as being feral. He described the crowd as being feral.
Well, that's better than Kevin Peterson, isn't it?
What's
Kevin Peterson
saying? he's less kind to the city, but I take that as a compliment. Don't you, as a player, when you were playing for Australia against England in Australia, didn't you want the crowd to be on them the whole time?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's part of the atmosphere, isn't it? They've got the Barmy Army. They'll have a big crowd themselves. They're not exactly, you're not inviting them in for a cup of tea and scones, eh? The Barmy Army. they're pretty robust. So I reckon it's great. I reckon, the crowd will be into it. The atmosphere will be there. I mean, as long as it doesn't cross the line of fair play and being a good human, it should be all good fun. So, yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Junior, what's your memories of the Gabba like in terms of history? Because Ed had a special quiz question for you about the Gabba.
I got a question for you, Mark War. Now, normally the answer is Mark War when we do this quiz, but it's not today.
Normally,
Don't
trick me, it's early.
I've branched out, Junior. Who took the greatest ever catch on the Gabba? Who is the person who took the greatest ever catch on the Gabba?
Well, I won't say me. I'd say I'd say whoever caught that pig, remember when it was wet on the ground at the Gabba?
That's pretty good. Michael Voss. It is
I think Alan Border took a one-hand left-hand catch, second slip off a guy called John Reed from New Zealand. How's that? Okay.
Incorrect.
Second. That was actually the second best. It was a one-handed left-handed catch by
a redhead.
Fatty Vorton, Mark.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, no, that wasn't as good as AB's, but it was a good catch.
Bold
as
Langer.
As good as your selection.
Bold Langer caught Vaughan in the deep in the Alan Border testimonial match of 1993.
I had Alan Border in there. He was batting in. It was his match there. But
do you remember
Alan Border's catcher? You should. No. Remember he died full length at second slip, one-handed.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, thanks.
I think he caught it in his right hand, which wasn't his dominant.
Was it a left-hand
or right-hand catch?
No, he dived to his left. It's a good effort to catch in your right if you dive to your left.
Did he catch it?
He's feisty today. Junior's come out swinging today. He's feisty. Hey, Jim, we'll let you go. We'll hear you on Triple M, which is excellent. But, of course, the reason we got you on today, you got any tips? Any horses running today we should know about?
I've got a couple, actually, at Hawkesbury.
Hawkesbury.
The form guide out.
We'll go to race four. We've got two in race two and race four, but I reckon race four is the better one. Mow the Great.
On the first day of the Ashes, how do you remember that?
It's always time for a bit.
Talking about moustaches, we'll go for Mow the Great in race four.
Mark Waugh, we'll hear you on Triple M. Okay. Good luck, mate.
Good one.
This is something that came to light the other day, Robin Bailey. I've spoken to Grimshaw. She's interested, but she's going to think about one more investigation.
Give a young bloke a chance. She said she
wanted one more piece of evidence of the slave labour conditions that Mo is in. I've got it. Because Jack, hello, Jack.
G'day, Ed.
Yeah, everyone helps us out producing here does a great job. Now, in the afternoons, Jack, Marto's put his arm around you and he said, come on, young fella, I'll give you some work.
Painting my house and stuff.
What work has he got you? What have you been doing for Marto recently?
Been doing some painting a staircase, painting a fence.
Yeah.
And started sanding yesterday.
Painting my shoes.
But didn't you also have to drive him to one of his lunches?
Yeah, also driving to lunches.
We should also say here that Jack is an intern with us, so he needs to do other jobs to earn some money.
That's why I was giving him a chance to pay him some money. Yeah.
Okay, but surely that would mean that you would be, respectful of the fact that he does a great job for us in the morning.
Safety first.
What?
Oh, all the planks are all tied up. There's clamps on all the planks.
Don't try and distract us.
Really
with that.
Conscious of the safety.
This is not a work cover investigation. This is a personal investigation. The conditions that you've got.
Hey, listen to this yesterday. What? Does this sound like a master and a slave? No. Hold on.
You said Jack that. Goes, I never said that.
Jack says, hey, Marto, I had to go home at 3:30. This is yesterday. I was painting that fence in your neighbour's yard and their dog took a piss on me. And I've gone, is that good or bad? Pierce. So good comedy there, Jack.
hang on. Stop trying to defuse the situation. Jack, in your own words, without this bully trying to railroad you, tell us what took place at the slave labour camp yesterday afternoon.
Just painting.
Okay, I crossed the border into Marto's neighbour's yard.
Now you're painting his neighbour's fence as well.
I built the fence and I never finished. It had primer on it, so you're just putting the final coats on.
Yeah, pretty much. So I thought I'd do the whole fence so Marto's neighbour doesn't feel left out. And anyway, their little staffy, I think it's a staffy.
Yeah, it is a staffy.
It's come up to me and nice just given him, had a bit of a sniff and I've gone, oh, hello, fella. I'm giving him a pat. And it's walked off, and then about 2 minutes later, it's come back, and it's just standing behind me, and it's looking a bit sus. I'm going, okay, I'll just continue painting. And then just feel this really warm trickle going down my leg.
Your legs are a bit like tree trunks, though.
That's so true.
I mean, you are a big fella.
It's like someone had poured a lemon-lime Gatorade down my
hot one. Well, they hadn't. A dog had weed on you. It's very different.
Hey, look at that. He says in the text message, now my ASICs are full of it. I said, okay, what's the problem?
So what did you do, Marto, when you heard that poor young slave has had a dog wee on him? What was your response?
His only pair of sneakers. His only pair of sneakers has been ruined by a dog sexually assaulting him. What did you?
I just sent a text going, never knew pain it could be so dangerous, huh? Dodgy. What do you want? A new pair of thongs?
New pair of shoes.
I want a new CBA.
What's the new CBA?
A collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, we don't do that. We'll do that in the next job.
Okay, I thought a CBA was a type of Crocs. You could have those. Now, do you believe? Let's do a tribunal. Robin, tribunal. Mm, yes. Brendo, tribunal. Mm. Do you think that the slave master should have to buy Jack a new pair of shoes, Robin?
Yes, absolutely. Brendan. DFO have got a sale on at the moment.
Are the shoes salvageable? Are they done? Are they dusted?
Just put them in the washing machine.
Yeah, I did put them in the washing machine.
Thank you. You're a clear
new
thinking
shoes.
It still didn't get the paint off them, though. So.
New shoes.
New shoes, people.
New shoes. Who else wants to take him on? Like, I'm the only bloke who's giving
him. What's wrong with you?
Now, it is time for school year of the year. Every year, we've trawled the news services as they get their live crosses invaded by schoolies, and we decide who's the best. And I believe, Brendo, we're going to start with our current clubhouse leader.
Absolutely we are. I can't go past this guy.
We have a goon sack, and we are charging on.
See, that's the energy that the weekend brings. Let's not forget he had the goon sack in front of him, and it was actually leading as if it was a flag.
His mother must be so proud.
Have you been watching every night just to check whether your oldest, your first time, your first exposure to schoolies?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he hasn't been seen.
No, and I have been looking because that was actually my final instruction. It's like, mate, have a great time. Do not let me see you on the news.
Love your mum, that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
the
all
camera.
That. Not cool. No, and he's actually quite a shy kid, so he would, if there was a camera, he'd bolt the other way.
So he wouldn't be doing any of this, would he?
Foolish teens use cigarettes to make their own tattoos, while others become hairdressers.
So last night...
Getting in before tape starts.
I met up with some girlfriends who were all mothers group mums, and all of our children are at schoolies, and we were flashing around photos of various types of shaving that the kids had done, to ear piercings. But shaving is by far, even for the girls, you know, they're lifting up their ponytails and taking out the back end of their hair.
Oh, yeah, man.
Which is
undercuts.
Never going to be a good idea.
Impromptu undercuts. That's fantastic.
What do you call it when they drink out of a long hose that goes down and then...
Beer bong.
Is that a beer bong?
Sure,
beer
is. Bong.
Irresponsible.
Well, these girls wouldn't have been doing that.
We're Catholics.
So you haven't been doing anything bad?
No.
We're Catholics.
Oh, my God.
Let's have a look at the history books. Let's go through recent
events. Okay, the reason you have your baby at the Mater is because they let you have a wine straight after birth. They don't do that at the Wesley.
Ah.
The Catholics are known for their drinking.
They're piss fit. Okay, where was your son staying?
At the Mantra.
Oh. We got evicted.
From where?
Mantra. What did you do?
It wasn't me. I was
jumping back in. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it was an accident.
Oh, you idiot.
Was that him?
No, that is not my son.
Okay.
I did speak to him yesterday. He's still alive.
Brendo, and, just describe these men.
Yeah, Brendo, these last blokes.
This last bloke?
Yeah.
Okay. He was on some crutches. He was a shaggy-haired young man.
Does it sound like your boy?
No.
He'd been evicted from a hotel, and he said this.
My mate pushed me down a staircase.
Oh, my God.
Okay, what a good mate. Now,
did his mate have a goon on him?
So what do we think? Who we've got all the new, we've got the Catholics, we've got the Mantra boys out there, they're gone, we got the Mantra boys.
Well, but
has anyone been able to knock off the clubhouse leader? Because I don't think they have.
I don't think so.
Still in pole position is this leader of men.
We have the goon set. And we are charging on.
Yeah! Once more over the breach, lads.
It's Marto and Robin on Triple M.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games, and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
CSI Motto.
Of course, this is where there are a lot of things baffling me in life. I refuse to go to Google with this one. Robin, you'll be more... I'll need your observations. Brendo and Ed, I would like your contributions. You guys do much fiddling.
What?
Yeah, readjust. Well, it's not time for observations yet.
Okay. What sort of fiddling? I just wasn't expecting that as a
I readjust
statement.
Myself a lot. I found myself the other day, and I don't know whether it's a summer thing coming in to get being a bit warmer, but I adjust my groin a lot more, or an awful lot, and I don't notice that you two do it a lot, but I'm very conscious. I was doing the national anthem. You know you're not supposed to fidget, and I found myself while singing going, geez, I wouldn't mind having a... readjusting.
Yeah, right now, it'd be lovely. Just new.
Do
just
you notice yourselves doing it?
No, I've been told before by my wife that you stop doing that.
Get your
stop
hand
Stop doing
away.
That in public. Stop doing that in public.
You've got to be worse. Got to, though.
No, I did a lot of, could be worse.
A lot of walking yesterday with a backpack on, and it kept riding up me, and I had to, in public, sort of, you know, surreptitiously get it out. And
I don't know how you translate that.
It's a bit swampy, and things
are
happening.
Robin, observations when ready.
I like it.
Okay.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Do you know what you're talking about?
You've got to adjust their
I don't. I don't have any, nor do any other women. So this is a whole new concept.
Some women, some of the newer women.
Okay,
Hannah, Caitlin,
new women.
Okay, fair enough. But a lot of women I know don't have them.
Still a woman.
The only thing I could compare it to is it uncomfortable or is it like a security thing? Are you touching and adjusting because that makes you remember who you are?
Oh no, no.
Feel it's just like it's uncomfortable.
So it's like women with really big boobs have to maneuver.
Oh, good one, good analogy.
Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know, and I don't know whether it's just us, but is it your what part of your men anatomy is it? Is it your willy or is it the other little two bits? Like, what's getting uncomfortable? Like, I don't know. And is it more, I'm finding it more in summer? Is it a sweat thing?
So are they getting in the way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and sometimes you got to push it across and, oh, God, the burden. It's worse
so
than
hard being
child,
a man.
It's worse than childbirth.
It's very hard.
Has it got anything to do with your undies?
I think it's got everything to do with your undies.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Do people who have good undies
I think the longer the sort of pant leg, if you've got like a knickerbocker on, you're fine. But the shorter it is and the harder it is.
What about walk around in bloomers like a weirdo from the 1850s? I can't do that.
But
what about
on.
If you have a drop groin on your short?
Drop groin.
Like MC Hammer, you know, those balloon pants.
Like parachute pants.
Parachute pants. Yeah. He was never scratching and readjusting.
But don't boxers just let it all
hang out?
Yeah.
All right, you can see our dilemma, and we do need help. Is there anyone done? Like, you imagine you're on an excavator, and your shorts are riding right up there. You get off the excavator, and you've got to sort the boys out.
So, what are you asking?
Oh, I don't really know.
I think we do have someone. Look, Mato, you asked this yesterday, and we've been working behind the scenes. Every man, there are people calling now.
Isn't it amazing how our arms are exactly the same length as where our groin is?
Fascinating, isn't it? It's fascinating, isn't it? It's not as if we have...
God meant us to readjust.
Itchy knees. It's not as if I've got itchy knees constantly. If you know what the deal with a constant adjustment is, but don't worry, if you don't and you've always wondered, we do have an expert in our back pocket who's coming in to help us with our front pockets.
Do you watch footy? Do you watch your kids play soccer?
Yeah.
Are they all just scratching themselves and they've got nothing to do?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I didn't think it was a readjustment. I just thought it was a boredom thing.
Just a part, something to do. Dave from Albion. Now, Dave, you believe that you've cracked this code. What is what causes less adjustment, buddy?
Hey, champions, how are you?
Yeah, good mate.
Okay. I agree. It's all the sciences in the undies. I was always going out playing around with the block and tackle with the missus there, and she was just getting annoyed with that sort of stuff. And same at work, wearing cheap Kmart undies and that sort of stuff. So
I
decided to get me some Calvin Klein. And they had to be black because she loves black. Don't ask me why I'm white.
Oh, no, I get it. No, go with her.
Hold on. That's an interesting point. Is that right, Robin?
Yeah,
women love men in black underpants.
Absolutely. Okay. Whites, there's a whole lot of other stuff that you really don't like.
It's father.
Go with black.
Mm. Yeah.
And she's right into the expensive underwear and that. And she never seems to adjust the bras or anything. So she bought me $52 a pair Calvin Klein underwear.
Wow.
And got me five pair for 5 days at work and two at weekends.
Yeah.
And they are, without doubt, the Ducks guts. I mean, I have not had to just the boys or girls or whatever you want to call them
for
that long. It's not funny. So I know it's expensive and not everyone can justify that, but you don't want to be playing around with the old block and tackle. There they go.
What's it like, Dave? Is it like when you get a really good frying pan, like those Teflon ones, and nothing sticks to it? Is that what we're looking at?
It's exactly like watching Jamie Oliver cook with that frying pan.
Just it is moving across.
Wow. It is just great. It's wow. like it's wow. like automatic adjustment. It's great. It really is. So, you know, right, I might even drop you in a pair and, you know, as a courtesy, what are you, extra large, Marto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might drop you in a pair and...
No. Fix
well,
it up.
Dave, careful just get here, the right one. Yeah. He wears studded G-strings backwards. So that's what he
wears
every
day. Hey, Dave, you may have cracked it. Well done, mate.
Thank you, Dave. Well played. But we do need to get medical. Let's get medical with Australia's premier doctor. His new book, Carl, The Universe and Everything, is out now just in time for Christmas, would you believe? Dr. Carl Krusielanski. Dr. Carl, good morning. Oh.
Good morning, Dr. Marto, Dr. Ed, and good morning, Dr. Robert.
I didn't realise this problem was going to have such a high-profile solution. Do you know anything about it, Dr. Carl?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons why you... shove things that down there around when you're for male. One is that you're itchy, and that can be caused by anything from contact dermatitis to a fungal infection to groin rash to chafing and rubbing and so forth.
Boing, boing at times.
Yeah. The second reason is that stuff sort of gets out of place because you've got different bits of anatomy, and if you sort of cross your legs or you're wearing underwear that isn't quite right, you're likely to tweak something or crush it. And, you know, for example, having bits being split over the crotch of your pants or dropping down into a pant leg can be kind of awkward. And also having stuff caught between the thigh and the elastic is also awkward.
Oh, dear idea.
So we're just talking straight geometry. The third reason here is that you're getting sweaty and there's lots of layers of cloth. And stuff doesn't breathe particularly well. The fourth one is kind of force of habit... combined with an evolutionary basis. So men and women use different signals to sort of show their attractive qualities. So women will tend to go for beauty, whereas men seem to go for sort of wealth and status and dominance.
Virility.
And so one example, if you're not walking down with your trousers, hands down your pants, is your thumbs in your belt or your pockets, or when you're sitting down, you spread your legs wide, like there's a famous photo of many photos of Putin when Vladimir Putin, he just sits down with his legs far apart. And this is some sort of dominance display that is, you've got a bit of a habit, and it began when you're about 5 years old and your parents said stop doing it, and you just kept on doing it when they weren't looking, and now you're stuck with it. Now you're an adult.
Well, there you go. So there's a medical reason.
Is there a clinic I can go to?
Social reason.
Well, you can sort of train yourself out of it just simply by not doing it. Or if you want to go and blow the money, do something like cognitive behavior therapy. But really, you can just sort of notice that you're doing it and think, I won't do it. And then just condition yourself out of it slowly over a period of time. Unless, of course, you want to do it, in which case that's pointless.
Dr. Carl, you're saying that particularly Marto's complaining about his sort of underpants and that sort of thing. Are you saying here on radio that it's time for Marto to start wearing a loose sarong and nothing else down there?
Well, there are advantages to not getting the groinal little stuff and just sort of going scrunch and squash and shoving up against the body and going from, say, jock-type pants to looser-wearing underpants.
Sarong. No undies and a sarong. That's what he's going to be doing. Dr. Carl, it is always a pleasure. The new book, Dr. Carl, The Universe and Everything, is out now for Christmas. Speak to you soon.
Sorted.
Thank you, Dr. Marto, Dr. Ed, Dr. Robert.
Brisbane's Triple M.
I did something really stupid yesterday. I'm slightly prone to doing stupid things most of the time, but this kind of takes the cake. So I've been doing lots of swimming recently as a way of getting, you know, super fit. And I wear a lot of jewellery. And they're quite tight on my fingers, but some of them, if I don't take them off, turn a lovely shade of green.
Oh, with the chlorine.
Lovely and cheap that they are. Anyway, so one of them, I was trying to get off my pinky finger and my knuckles are quite large. So the only way I could think of doing it in a hurry was to put my pinky in my mouth, get the saliva working around the ring and try and pull it out. Yeah. But it's a solid gold ring. And as I'm pulling it through my mouth, I realise that there's a little piece of tooth. That's coming
with
it.
Tooth.
Well done. Congratulations.
How dumb's that? Like, really, it's gold.
That's cool.
My tooth is not as strong as solid gold. And now one of my front teeth is slightly chipped.
I can't even see it.
Oh, I can feel it. It's so annoying.
You can. But
it's so annoying. Isn't that dumb?
Welcome to the world before they had twist tops.
Oh, my God. Of course, people who open their beers with teeth.
That was my major party trick. Just
Did you chip your teeth?
Oh, yeah. It's down the inside. Same thing on the inside. Just and you go, God, you just pull out little pieces of white. And
have you ever done anything like that, Ed?
I haven't ever chipped a tooth, no. But what you're about to get of is a lot of that's nothing because tooth chipping is one of Australia's great injuries. So
I made my mate name his new boat Tooth Chipper because the first time Hillary went on it, can you imagine an 11-year-old girl front tooth snapped in half?
Oh, no.
So hang on. So she got a fakie in her front.
Yep.
I'm like, really?
Has her since she's 11. Oh, you've seen her, yeah.
I have many times.
That's half that tooth, just an insert and everything else.
Wow. Okay.
SS Tooth Chipper, it was called from that day.
SS Tooth Chipper. How did you chip your tooth? Double points if you did it yourself.
Oh, yes.
Double points. Prize for the best one because I reckon it's like the VB ad. You can get it mowing. You can get it throwing.
Right, cool.
You can, you know, it's one of those things where there's so many ways
to
chip a tooth. And what we're hoping is that Mitchell Stark chips a few English teeth today.
Yeah.
Oh, Nikki, I'm good now. Have you chipped a tooth? How?
G'day, mate. I did it just this week, actually.
What happened?
Like you, Robin. Thought it must be the week for it, so did it at work here. Decided to shove a shovel into my mouth, so obviously getting a little bit hungry, so.
No. How, was somebody else wielding the shovel, or you?
Nah, did it all myself, mate. Pretty proud of that, and I'm from Ipswich. We like to call it the Ipswich smile when you're missing a front tooth, so.
Nikki.
Yeah, I was obviously looking a little bit too pretty with all my teeth there, so.
Nikki.
Beautiful, Nikki.
Come on.
Beautiful. Hey, Nikki, that's gorgeous.
The Ipswich smile.
I've never heard that.
Chris of Wynnum, what'd you do with a chipped tooth?
Oh, guys, it was back when I was a teenager, just a while ago, but in typical Aussie fashion, I was doing up a set of roof racks on a car with a set of bullnose pliers.
Yeah, bullnose.
And they slipped straight off the head of the bolt and whacked me in one of my two front teeth and took a corner off it. Oh. It was pretty.
Did you get that fixed up, Chris?
I did, actually, yeah, but it took me about 15 years. I eventually got a cap.
Oh,
but,
geez.
Yeah, there's some good photos. I think even when I got married, it was crooked. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. How much is it for a new front tooth? How much is a new front tooth these days? Do we know? Does anyone know?
Good question. They've got some pretty good technology around it. I think my brother got hit by a car and had one of his front teeth come out. Yeah. They actually put it back in. He was about 12, and they put it back in. It turned grey, and so, again, for probably 20 years, he had one dead front tooth, and it was rotten. But they pulled it out and stuck a peg up in the bone. And
that's what they do, a little bolt.
Yeah. Just paint a peg white. That'll be good. That'll work. Thank you, Chris.
I want to know how his brother got hit by the car, but let's push on. Carol from Manly. Hi, Carol.
Morning, guys.
What happened to you?
Well, my husband and I are sitting down by the bay having nice fish and chips.
Oh, lovely.
And you know the old dim sims with the real crunchy part on top?
Yes.
There was a little bit left and he seen it and I seen it. I grabbed it and shoved it in my mouth and I beat him, but I end up chipping my tooth in the process.
A dim sim did you over? Beaten by a dim sim.
What are you?
Pardon?
Beaten by a dim sim.
I know. And the thing is, I end up losing the tooth because it got chipped and they tried to fix it. It was a Sunday. So no dentist in those days. So,
Carol, I'm figuring you fixed it up because there's nothing sexier than a woman without a front tooth.
Oh, no. Yes, it is.
Well, you might be able to answer the question. How much does it cost to replace a tooth?
Well, I ended up having another tooth, a bridge and a crown. Oh, hang on. A crown and a bridge, I think it's called, and it cost me $2,000.
That's not cheaper than I thought, actually.
That was a dim teeth.
Hey, was the dim sim nice, Carol?
Oh, it was delicious.
Yeah, it was worth it.
We're going to reward you for your gluttony. You're heading off to the Rugby League World Cup semi-final.
Oh.
It's in Brisbane this weekend.
So
you are more than welcome. A double to that. RLWC2017.com for tickets.
Just watch out for the hot chips, Carol. You could lose a couple of teeth.
They don't make them anymore, those big ones.
No, they don't. They don't. We'll talk off air. It's a shock. All right, thanks, Carol.
Over the years, The Chaser has gone to war with, well, everyone.
Now in our new podcast, we've joined with Border Force and ASIO to interrogate the scum that threaten our way of life.
Writers, thinkers, and worst of all, comedians.
Extreme Vetting with The Chaser. If you like comedy or national security, catch us on Podcast One. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au.
No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Tell you what, we're talking about the coal mine, the Indian coal mine, Adani. Yep. And all the protesters that have been going on. Oh. But there's been a lot of them, hasn't there, Ed?
Well, let's not forget the hippie anti-Adani choir.
No, 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 Adani, never gonna build that mine.
Oh, together now, yes. Yeah. No, you're never gonna
Now, they've been going,
mine.
They've been chipping away really nicely, and they've been well calculated. From day one, when they've been running in behind Palaszczuk. Her name's not Palaszczuk, okay? It's Palaszczuk. Let's make this really plain. She's not French. It's not Palaszczuk. It is Palaszczuk. If you ask, get a Polish person, any Polish people, 133353, I need you on the record to tell me her name is Palaszczuk.
Okay, but except for the fact that if she wants to call herself Palaszczuk, can't she call herself anything?
No.
All right. Do you know Richard Feidler on ABC? His last name, Ed, what's his last name?
Oh, well, I would say Fiddler. That's,
Yeah, but he wants to call himself Feidler. So he's a Feidler.
No, he is a fiddler. Anyway, where was I going with this? Adani protest, that's right. Yeah. In Townsville yesterday, they had that big debate. Yeah, it's supposed to be turn up. Palaszczuk didn't front, okay? No. So poor old Tim Nichols, he goes on stage and thought he was so clever. He took a cardboard cutout so he could go, oh, finally I made her shut up. Yeah, yeah, okay. So he, listen, here he goes. On the stage, he didn't know that earlier in the morning, some Adani protesters, I don't know whether it was the same ones singing the song, they crept and they were hiding underneath the stage, okay? What? And then as he started to speak, well, I'll let it all play out.
There are no jobs on a dead planet. The reef is dying.
What a great one.
Hang on, so did they emerge from sort of underneath the stage?
Remember WWF then... when Hornswoggle the midget, he used to come out. He used to live underneath the live underneath the ring. So and he'd come up and clock people in the ghoulies or the knees and stuff.
With his shillelagh. That is fantastic, Adani protesters. So now it's not even safe to go on a stage because they might be underneath.
Can we just have another look? Did you hear? So he had his Adani thing, but in between there, he said, you don't get a job off a dead planet. Listen to one of the Liberal Party people tell him to go and get a job. Just have a listen. How about you go and get a job?
Oh, is that what he said?
I have a job. My job is to lie underneath things and then pop out.
God, they're going well.
Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.
Hey, you know, normally when you go to the Ashes cricket, you're all ready to go. You know both teams. You know the who's who of each side. You know what it's going to be today? It's going to be who's that? What's a Dawid Marlin? What's one of those? What's a Jake Ball? What do they do? James Vince. This is the English team.
Stoneman. It's a pack of no names. And I'm really excited. If we bowl, it's just got to be chin music. That's it. I'm sick of these blokes. I don't know any of them, but I hate them all
so
much.
Explain to me, why has England brought a team that you guys don't know?
No, we haven't played them for a while.
Yeah, we haven't been
It's not. Yeah. So it's not because. Okay, so it's not because they're not good.
We just haven't played them for a while, so we don't know who their team is at the moment. But Marto, I understand that the Barmy Army's in Brisbane. They're in full voice, and they do a great job, the Barmy Army. They really add to the atmosphere of the whole thing. And
they reckon there's about 4,000 of them. So fantastic. I went down to the Royal on the Park. Yeah, it used to be Old Park Royal over the Botanical Garden. Went in there, like last night at about 6:45 or so. Yeah, about 6:45. So pull up there going, this is where they're getting their tickets, their test tickets for the next 5 days. They're going to be distributed from this desk. I walk in, not a soldier there.
They were pig and whistle. Really?
That's exactly right. So I went around the corner to Pig and Whistle. What a rockin' joint. All of Brisbane, all the way around Eagle Street Pier through Queen Street, it was rocking. That's not right on a Wednesday. Right. That's not Brisbane on a Wednesday night. We don't go out.
Yeah, it is now.
It was incredible. They were spending money, and that's the thing. The thing I noticed, they weren't in their 20s, they weren't in their 30s or even 40s. They were all older than me. All the people were all over 50, I reckon, because they've got enough money. If you're going to the first test, excuse me, that means you're going to the second, third, fourth, you're here for the whole thing.
Right,
so you got plenty of dough. If you only pick one test, if you're a young bloke, pick one test, you either go to Melbourne or Sydney.
Oh, yeah, do you?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they always do that. There's always, those always got more young sort of backpackery types.
Couldn't get anyone to sing.
Oh.
So I go to Pig and Whistle, oh, can we turn off the guy with the guitar? Hold on, I got a cough.
Okay. You come back.
Yeah.
He's got a cough.
No.
Hey, so I say, can you do that? And they go, oh, mate, we just did it for Channel 9 and 7. So that plays the whole, so we can't turn him off for you. I went, oh. So I couldn't get anyone to do the singing, but I think we all know what the singing is. So I got this bloke. This bloke was sitting there on his own. He's about, he would have been 60. This is typical. This is Nigel from Woking.
So where are you from?
Woking in Surrey.
And you said to me you're a rugby league fan as well.
Yeah, when I saw the first Ashes test and the World Cup semi-final and final were here, I thought all the stars were in line, so I get over here.
How many do you reckon are here?
2,000 to 4,000, who knows?
Right, and the good thing is they spend a lot of money.
They certainly
money
do.
On hotels, on yep. beer, on food, on yep. taxis.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Well, we can't go into that if it's going to be broadcast right. publicly.
Late night activities for Nigel from Woking.
Well, yeah. Our producer Scott did walk past the.
That's right.
What's that called? The Rocket?
Love and Rockets.
No, it's called Love and Rockets. It's a wonderful Brisbane institution.
And he did hear big some English voices.
So. Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. First time ever.
There is one thing though. Then I tell you, as I came out of the Park Royal, I saw one guy, and I said, I thought it was a pommy. Have a listen to what's happening in Brisbane. All right.
You with the Barmy Army, mate?
No.
It was no. Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm just here on business.
Oh, you're wondering what the hell's going on, I suppose.
Well, I know what's going on because there's the last room in bloody Brisbane CBD that I could get.
How much?
$700.
For a night?
For one night.
Holy shit.
There was.
Are you the boss or what did the boss say about that?
The boss hasn't found out, but I'm calling tonight.
Oh.
He won't yet.
Jesus.
$715 for a room for one night, normally $225.
I hadn't even thought about that.
What about that?
Have we any of us got rooms, Airbnb?
Well, I was just wondering, what's the price card at Love and Rockets doing as well?
Okay, yesterday I had the absolute pleasure, and it only took me about 30 seconds of my life, to vote.
Oh, it took you 2 days to work out how to do it, though.
Okay, yes, it took me 2 days to work it out. But basically, you know, you get the card in the post box and saying, take this with you when you vote. And there was a phone number on it, which I then rang, which was the Queensland Electoral Commission. And they were actually pretty helpful. And they said, "What, you know, where are you voting? Where's your closest polling booth?" And they told me. But the glory for me, because I'm
Remind everyone, the thing is you're going away on Saturday. You won't
be
in Brisbane.
I'm not going to be here. Yeah. And I only realised this on Monday. I completely forgot. Yeah. So I'm in the My War electorate. I've moved because I now live in Fig Tree Pocket. I'd moved out of Kenmore, which is Moggle, and I'd moved into this new one. And so when I rang them and I said, I live in Fig Tree Pocket, where can I vote? They said, aha, Bunnings.
What?
Bunnings?
Yeah, the Bunnings building at Indooroopilly. And the glory of that is, for anyone who's ever gone there on Coonan Street, is that you park underneath and the elevator comes up and it actually opens into Bunnings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the Myers and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, like that. And so,
are you sure you just hadn't rung Bunnings and they were trying to get you there? No, you can vote here.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well,
oh,
it was actually pretty clever because I don't know if they do this all the time or if they just did it because a lot of people were voting.
But is this a pre-voting place, Bunnings, at Indooroopilly? It's not come Saturday, you can't go.
It won't be there on Sunday.
Right, on Saturday. But Saturday, can you vote there?
I don't think so. I think it's a pre-voting
place. It's not for on the day.
But how smart are Bunnings? Because knowing that, you know, a lot of people and not just your average Bunnings customer is going to be coming through and voting.
Really smart.
Right along, as you walk out of the lift, you've got, you know, you can walk into Bunnings, but on the right-hand side as you're heading towards the electoral office is all their Christmas lights. So I got so absorbed in, oh, my goodness, I didn't know I needed it, and a lit-up reindeer.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Are they in solar or you got to plug in? Solar or not?
Well, you had both versions.
Oh, God, I like the solar ones.
I know, very cool. Anyway, as I said, it took me about 30 seconds to vote. And the one thing that I would advise people, and I'm pretty disenchanted with both of the major parties, as we've talked about a fair bit here on the show, and I think a lot of Queenslanders are, know who your independents are.
Oh, how would you know?
Well, exactly right. And I didn't. And even Googling this morning, I still can't find out who the what the independent represents. because there were four people that you could vote for in my electorate, and one's an independent, then there's a Green, Labor and Liberal. But, they had the how-to-vote cards.
So you voted for someone who you don't even know.
No, well, I didn't. I won't do that because I take my vote very seriously, and I really agonised over who I should vote for because I was so disenfranchised.
Did they have the people with the red shirts and the green aprons,
yes,
like the assistants, were they handing out pamphlets?
No.
No.
They did have their own pamphlet handing out people.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but there's no independent people because they don't have the money that the big parties have.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, just ring the Electoral Commission. They'll tell you where your closest is, and if you're lucky like me, you can end up in Bunnings.
Well, that's so interesting, Marta, because you're saying that there's a way to vote at the Gabba, isn't there?
Yeah, on Saturday they've got a polling booth at the Gabba.
How many people are going to draw a box and write Ian Healy and put a tick in it? He could be Premier by Monday.
Ashes.
Look at you. Ashes. You're twitching. Ashes. You just want to go.
No, I'm twitchy, but my mate's twitchy. We promised that we'd get there. I'd get there in about 8 minutes' time, and I've got to get over to the West End, and then we've got to walk, and then we've got to,
Did you get the email about the meeting today?
Get stuff.
Get stuff. You're going too. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not going to that meeting.
And you're going, Robin.
Yeah, I know. Well, Sean's on his way in and supposed to jump in a cab and get there, but you're telling me that the cab's not going to work.
Well, one year I got caught on the Captain Cook Bridge. The traffic jam was so bad. Jumped out of the cab, slipped him some money and just ran along the side of the freeway.
Jesus.
There you go.
You ran.
Mate, it's the first day. And you're looking after Arnie today, Ed.
I'll be on the couch. My wife has just informed me that there is a lunch that I have to go to that with her and Arnie that I've forgotten about.
What? Oh, a cricketing lunch?
No, like an awful. We should catch up with these people lunch.
That's treason.
Well, actually, that's slightly your responsibility because you should have remembered it was the first day of the Ashes and said no.
That's true, Robin, but I didn't, and she's done it, I believe, on purpose. And I just want to say this now:
it's really uncool.
My wife is listening, Tiff. I never want to catch up with anyone ever.
Never.
Yeah, that's it.
Wonderful. On that sociable note.
Very much so. Hey, very quickly. We were asking for days what you were going to wear to the cricket. What did you decide on?
Oh, I'm going to wear this. The Alvey shirt.
Oh, the Alvey.
What says Australia more than this?
I'm
wearing this over the top of an Origin jersey.
You know what says Australia these days? A green and gold sombrero. Somehow that's become the symbol of Australia.
Oh, that says tequila, yes. Aussie tequila to me. You don't want to be drinking that.
Coverage starts at 9:30 and the guest list we've got is
incredible. If you've got Channel 9 on, to drown the sound and turn the rims up.
Ashes, 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 ashes.
Have a good day.
Get out of here, Triple M.